All right, take three on this intro. Hope everybody's doing well. This is episode number 37, which is also Gear Talk number 4-ish. In this episode, we just talk about basically a couple different hardtails, break them down, why I like them, why I don't like them, and the whole nine yards. But yeah, make sure you follow us on social media. That's at Out of Podcast for pretty much everything. The YouTube channel, this actually was available earlier this week or last week rather, as a YouTube video. So definitely check that out if you're into watching me wave my hands around and look at a screen for a while. If you're not, I don't blame you. Also in this episode, we do have our buddy Will from Bomberstrap, who came on the show via Skype. And basically, that's what the beginning of this episode is. He's just kind of chatting about the new Mega Bomber. There's a couple changes that were made in the new Mega Bomber to update it for bigger trucks, such as like the one that I have. Just fits it a little bit better, a little cleaner. He kind of talks us through the differences and what makes Bomberstrap as a company different. But yeah, that's basically the gist. I hope you guys enjoy it. Let us know what you think, and let us know if you want to see more of these Gear Talk episodes. We're planning on doing quite a few more as the season progresses here. But until next week, which actually we have a few good episodes coming next week. Until next week, I'll talk to you guys. Bye. So we are on the phone with Will Cox. Will is you're the founder, correct, of Bomberstrap?
Yeah. Yeah. Founder, designer, innovator, wear all the different hats and all the different shoes. Yeah.
How long have you been doing Bomber?
Yeah, that's a really good question because, we didn't really officially become a business, until like April. You know, we had our website up and running, but, the concept and the product has been, you know, an ongoing thing for about 4 or almost 5 years. It kind of started out as a fluke. Essentially I was looking for an alternative to the mat system. And, I come from the orthopedic field of prosthetics and orthotics, which is kind of interesting in and of itself. But, I basically had a sewing machine at my disposal and a bunch of materials, and I stitched up my first bomber strap, just thinking I wanted something, to basically attach my bike to the tailgate. And it was okay. I mean, the concept was cool. It was like universal and it kind of worked, but it basically started like, 5 years ago. And then there was like these incremental developments in the design that just kept building and going. And so, it's been refined over time. About 5 years. So I didn't really want to come out with it until I was totally satisfied with the product, meaning that it was something that, I could look at and be like, that's a cool design. I actually like that. So the concept to build it was totally unique in the sense that I was doing it to kind of please myself. Being a mountain biker, I wanted something different, but I wanted it, to look cool. I wanted it to be, tactical, and I just wanted something simple. Like I didn't, really want to, spend a lot of money on, this big tailgate mat. And when I wanted something, a lot smaller and more tactical, that was basically what it came down to.
Right. And I think the product is great. Like it's super, that's one of the things that I was saying early on is like the product it's made super high quality. Like there's the buckle's super nice. The straps are super nice. The pad itself is just, everything's really overbuilt. Right. And I guess that must go into it. Like when you're thinking about it, because a lot of the tailgate pad stuff is basically just like a piece of foam with a piece of material, like some kind of cloth material over it. And then that's it. That's all it is really. And this is a little bit more built up, it seems like.
Yeah, it's interesting, and we've seen an evolution of the tailgate mats, and I just kind of want to be clear, it's not anti-tailgate mat, it's just a different option for people. But we, being mountain bikers, we've seen the evolution of the tailgate mat design. They've included, for example, different straps and segments to separate the bikes from moving around. That was something that we have seen. And then with this design, in some ways, it represents the antithesis, right? It's obviously smaller, compact, and it's built around military spec, meaning that when I was looking for a manufacturer, I was looking for somebody who could build with, ballistic nylons and somebody who, knew what those materials would look like, because essentially, you know, this looks like a you know, a shoulder strap on a backpack, you know, and my idea was like, you know, I want this thing to last and I want it to be, you know, as tough as possible. So I sought out somebody who had a military contract and was making, you know, military backpacks. And I was like, you know what, I don't want to, defer or differentiate from what you guys are currently doing.
Right. Yeah. And I think that, and again, I like traditional tailgate mats too. I just think that for people that aren't carrying 5, 4, 6 bikes all the time, like, I just don't think it's a super practical solution, and it blocks your backup camera. And so for that reason, I think that Bomber's a good solution for it, you know? So let's talk real quick about the new product, which is the Mega Bomber. What's different about that? What kind of trucks is it made to fit versus the old one?
Yeah, good question. So the what I'm calling now is the standard Bomber strap. That's the one that we first came out with. You know, I built that around the Tacoma trucks, like the second generation. So it's built for, you know, basically mid-sized trucks, and it does incredibly well. And then what I realized is that, you know, a lot of mountain bikers also have, you know, giant full-size trucks. They have, you know, F-150s, they have, you know, GMCs, and like there's this, you know, differentiation with the tailgates. And one of the things I realized that was pretty interesting was that the industry had kind of changed in which they were making tailgates. So no longer were they thin and flat. They were, you know, asymmetrical, and they had, you know, they got really thick because they were adding backup cameras. So the concept of the Mega Bomber was derived from, you know, these, you know, different size tailgates and these like really thick ones. And so I had to come up with something different. And what we noticed is that with the thicker tailgates, the standard Bomber strap needed a little bit more length. It needed to be slightly wider, and we needed to find a way to prevent the tire from rotating into the tailgate, which was something that was a non-issue with the with the mid-size trucks, because the bumper would hold the tire, you know, parallel to the tailgate. But with these, you know, larger trucks that had, you know, these really thick tailgates, there was a tendency for the tire to dip in and turn to the tailgate. And that was a big issue for some mountain bike riders that didn't like the idea of the tire turning into the tailgate and potentially, you know, damaging the paint. So the concept of the Mega Bomber was derived. And what we decided to do is just simply make it a little bit bigger, a little bit wider and thicker. And then we added this new strap called a rotation control strap. So all it does is go around the handlebar, and then it connects to the frame, and it holds the bike tire parallel to the tailgate, so it can't move out of position and come in contact with the paint of the truck. And that's been a huge hit for guys who have, you know, just really big trucks, and, you know, they're concerned about what the tire does. But with the mid-sized trucks, not an issue. The standard Bomber works great, and we're seeing a lot of success in terms of sales with the standard size. Like, people just love the idea how compact it is. And it turns out, and this had happened with my discussion with Pink Bike, they did a big survey and they discovered that a lot of mountain bikers just drive, you know, like a mid-sized truck. They don't really drive, you know, big full-size trucks. So it was like this unique commonality and this, you know, just kind of this random confluence of events of, you know, building around the second generation Tacoma and working around that style tailgate. It just worked out really good for the standard Bomber. But there's a, you know, a huge incentive for us to obviously make the Mega Bomber for, you know, larger size tailgates, just because, you know, a lot of riders still have, you know, full size trucks that, you know, have these thick tailgates. And, you know, that's something to talk about too, is that the industry has changed and these thick tailgates, you know, have kind of become the norm. And so even with tailgate mats, it becomes kind of difficult to get a big mat to fit on, like, for example, a large F-150. And where the Mega Bomber comes in is that it could fit around these asymmetrical shapes without issue.
Yeah, I guess that makes a lot of sense. Like, I think the update was needed, like, and I think it will, but I think now you guys are almost like more of a full-on rack company, right? Because you have options for both. Or strap company, I guess, but you have options for both types of trucks. Because, like, even with mine, like, I have a Rebel. It was a little, the original worked, but it worked, I guess it still worked really well. But the Mega Bomber, I think, is what's going to really be the ticket for it. Like, it's going to be a perfect solution. So so I'm excited to see how that thing looks. I'm excited to check it out. Where can people find Bomber Strap, more information, and where can they find you on social media?
Great question. So they could find the product on bombersstrap.com, and they could find more information about the products by just doing a search on YouTube. We have some, you know, critics out there that, you know, and not critics, but also, you know, proponents out there that have done their own review of the bomber strap. And I've actually sent out the product to a few people just to review on YouTube. And I think the reviews are awesome. I think it's nice to have people, you know, criticize it as well as compliment it. It gives people a fair assessment of the product. One of the things I've been hypercritical about is making sure that potential customers are totally informed about the details of use, meaning that I want them to be familiar with when they're selecting a standard bomber to know what it's intended for, which is like the mid-size trucks. And for anybody who has a really thick tailgate, to gravitate towards using the Mega Bomber, because that's going to be the most appropriate one. And turns out that the majority of mountain bikers are just really well-informed, well-read. They research their products, and when they purchase from us at bomberstrap.com, they know exactly what they're looking for by the time they hit our website. So a lot of that information floating around there is going on YouTube, which is, again, great because you have pros and cons of the product, which I invite. Because you know what, I totally believe in, you know, having evolutions to this product just to work towards perfection. That's a big philosophy of mine, is to always move towards perfection, to continue to refine, to continue to develop, and make the product better for what customers are asking for.
That's awesome. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to come on with us. I'll let you know when this thing gets out there, and I'm sure we'll get some questions on the product as well. But once again, thanks, man.
All right, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Later, bye. So we're live on our YouTube channel right now, right? Is that right? Yeah. So we're going to talk today about bike stuff, which is weird considering it's November and Mount Snow and other resorts are getting like a foot and a half of snow tomorrow. But these are bikes that I wanted to talk about for a while because they are the only hardtails that I actually like. I'm sure there's other ones out there that I would like, but these are two that stand out to me, and I think that stand out to a lot of people. They're bikes that we do really well with. Bike that we do really well with, and then one that I know rides really well. So we're talking specifically about the Santa Cruz Chameleon and the Transition Vanquish and or Throttle. I told Ethan to put Throttle in the description, but we may also talk about Vanquish because it's kind of a similar bike. The cool thing, we'll kind of jump into it, I guess, right away. Like the cool thing about the Chameleon is that it's basically two bikes in one, right? There's a lot of bikes now that convert over 27 plus to 29, but this bike actually rides significantly more different, I guess, than other bikes do, and in a good way. Like a lot of bikes that you convert over, like Hightower, for example, I don't really like the way that Hightower rides, the Santa Cruz Hightower rides in a plus, but I like the way it rides a lot in a 29er. With Chameleon, I like the way it rides both ways. You know, it's versatile, it's fun, it's a little more slack. Than a traditional hardtail. Hardtails in general are dumb. Like they're not super exciting bikes, I guess. In general, I mean, maybe you're the kind of person that gets excited about a hardtail and that's fine too, I guess. But the idea is with the Chameleon, you can put a guy that normally rides a full suspension or that rides a downhill bike on this bike and he'll still feel like it's something that he wants to go out and rip. It's comfortable. It's not super far forward. It's relaxed enough where you feel like you can be on the bike for a long period of time. And you can absolutely rail this thing into corners, into berms. And it's just a super, super fun bike. So they've had it in the line for quite a few years now. Originally, it was a 27.5 bike that was a little more slack. I don't think they intended it. I don't think they thought it was going to do really well at Santa Cruz, or as well as it did, because they didn't make that many of them, and shops, especially on the East Coast, were selling out super, super quickly, because it gave people an alternative option to what their regular hardtail is. Normally, hardtails are stiffer, they're lighter weight, and that's their focus, is to be lightweight and, you know, have skinny tires, and, you know, people pick them up on the floor, and you're like, wow, this is great. But, like, a bike like this thing is versatile. It's not really, weight's not the main thing. I mean, it's not super, super light. It's like 28 pounds in the D kit, 28.27 pounds in the D kit. But, and it's not like it's a cheap bike either. Like, I mean, the thing starts at $1,800. So for a hardtail, this is just kind of Santa Cruz's entry into their line. You know, it's the cheapest bike that they make, essentially. not essentially, it is the cheapest bike that they make. Build kit at D is still really nice. I know I'm jumping all over the place. It's still a 1x11 drivetrain. It's still a super nice aluminum frame. It's a $750 frame if you buy the thing just as frame only. Still has race face posts, still has WTBC, race face stem and bars. Like, it's a nice setup. Wheels are still built in-house at Santa Cruz. It's a well-built bike for that money. It's not like the old... The way Santa Cruz used to be is like you were paying more for that premium brand. You could get the same bike from Specialized, Trek, whatever, for $400, $500, whatever the number was, significantly cheaper than what you could get a Santa Cruz for. And now this competes with everybody else. Like, it's not a huge upgrade, and it's a significant upgrade, in my opinion, which, what do I know about anything? It's a significant upgrade in bike. Like, the bike just feels better. You get a lifetime warranty on the frame. And I mean, the thing is just fun. And that's kind of a Santa Cruz plug in itself. Like, Santa Cruz does, they just make really nice product. They don't mess around and make dumb product. So yeah, anyway, back to Chameleon. Chameleon can be run as a 29er or 27 plus. You just switch the dropouts out. You can switch the fork out. I'd argue that you could run the fork either way, but it will change the geometry of the bike a hair if you decide to go with that. For example, like the 27.5 plus wheels with the fork that was originally set up for the 29er. But yeah, that's the gist of it. I think one of the best things about it is, like I said earlier, like, the bike rides well both in this way and the other build kit, which, click on that picture, hey. And in this setup, which is the 29er, which is the 29er setup. Like, they ride a little bit different, but they both ride really, really well. If you've listened to the show or any of the gear talks we did before, or me talking about mountain bikes in general, like, I don't think the plus thing is great. Like, I think it's dumb for the most part. This is the only situation for most bikes that I really, really like plus stuff. It's fun, makes the bike feel squishier. It almost makes it feel like not a full suspension, but like 1.5 suspension, I guess. So if you're talking about a dual suspension bike, this is 1.5. Like, it's more than a regular bike with suspension, but with front suspension only, but it's less than a full suspension with both front and rear suspension, if that makes sense. Hopefully I'm not losing anybody on that side of things. So for this year, they do have 3 build kits. Normally it was only 2 build kits. It was an R and an S. Now it's available in R. It was available in a D and an R. Now it's available in D, R, and S. The S kit is the nicest one. Retails like $3,200. It's not a ton lighter. It's 27 pounds. It comes with a Fox Fork, 1x12 drivetrain, better brakes, which, honestly, Santa Cruz needs to change what they do with their brakes. I'll mention that in a second, but I don't want to get too far off track. Also comes with a Reverb dropper post. So, I mean, it's kitted out like how you would change out your Chameleon over time. Like, so if you're not the kind of guy that wants to go and tinker with his stuff and change out his components, and you just want it to be set from the get-go and, like, not worry about anything, with the exception of the brakes, which some people argue are fine, this bike in the S kit is ready to ride. Like, you don't need to do anything else. The reason I don't like the brakes is because I think you have to bleed them every 20 days or something like that. They have so much modulation to the point where, like, they're just not strong brakes. They just don't have a ton of power. And I think with bikes this level, the ideal situation, like, I'm not just shitting on SRAM. Like, SRAM, I don't think, makes brakes exceptionally well. Like, there are some, like, I think the code's okay. That in general feels a little bit better, but like level T, level alt, even like the high end ones, like level ultimate, are just not good brakes. Guide is not great either. You know, like, I know they're changing what they're doing with brakes, and there's so many new models all the time, and it's because I don't know why they're doing it like that. What'd you do? Oh, Ethan's fucking shit up. But yeah, that's kind of the idea. Is like, I just don't think those brakes are very good. If I was Santa Cruz, or any brand, to be honest, right now I would be running, and Santa Cruz is kind of doing this, I would be running one Shimano option in my build kits, like one full Shimano drive, because there are those guys out there that really like Shimano drivetrains, and like, everybody likes Shimano brakes, I think. What I would do is I would run Shimano brakes with SRAM drivetrain all day, like, because that gives everybody the best bang for the buck in both categories. Like, you can run a Dior, a regular Shimano Dior brake against a Level Ultimate or a Guide Ultimate, and that $100 Dior brake is way better than that $250 SRAM brake. It's just the way it is. Like, I don't care who says what. Like, SRAM can call me and say, Adam, you're an idiot, you're wrong, this is why it's better. I don't care, because every one of the bikes that I've ever messed with or that has come in just doesn't work well for the consumer. So I don't really care about how it works for me or how I'm adjusting it, or if, like, I was the only one that didn't like it, great. But we have tons of people coming in. Like, that's the number one change on any Santa Cruz we sell, is we switch out the brakes. Maybe that's not an issue they're aware of. Maybe they don't care. Maybe it's just they get a better deal on parts if they're buying everything from SRAM, which I'm sure that's the reason. But who really knows, I guess. I should get back to the bikes, huh? Like, I don't want to just talk about brakes the whole time. Point is, this comes in two different wheel sizes. So every build kit is available on Santa Cruz's website, at least to build out for yourself and go into your local shop. In D, D plus, R, R plus, and S plus. So everything's available in both 29 and 27.5. You can also buy the additional dropouts to change it over if you're the kind of guy that wants a second wheel set to run with your bike. Beyond that, that's basically the Chameleon. It's not a super complicated bike, but the point is, like, that bike is fun. Like, you can ride that bike wherever. Here, scroll down on this thing real quick. What do they say about it? Go back up to this thing. As the name implies, the Chameleon is a bike that can change to match its environment. 29er or 27 plus, geared or single speed, this adaptable hardtail utilizes a suite of swappable dropouts to convert it from aggro trail charger to husky bikepacking mule to anything in between. I guess that's a good way to describe it. I mean, basically, the bike can do anything. I think in either wheel size or wheel or tire size, it can do whatever you want. Like, it basically, like, it's an unlimited bike. I mean, it's not like a bike that I would take the Highland and go downhilling all day with, but if you wanted to hit the jump runs, you totally could hit it on a Chameleon, rather. If you wanted to just do cross-country stuff and race cross-country, you could still do it. Is it the best tool for the job in every scenario? No, but that's impossible. So this is about as versatile as I've ever seen a hardtail. If you want a full suspension but don't have full suspension money, getting a good Chameleon makes way more sense than getting a shitty full suspension. And that goes for everything. Like, if you were going to say, like, okay, should I buy an S kit or an R kit of a Chameleon, or buy like a 5010 in a D kit, which there's still more money for a 5010, I'd still buy that Chameleon. I just think it makes more sense. Like, you're getting more bang for the buck. That bike is versatile to do everything you want. Yeah, it doesn't have a back shock, but who cares? We'll jump into the other bikes that I wanted to talk about here real quick. So Transition makes two bikes basically that do the same thing as Santa Cruz's one bike. What is happening on this screen right now? So the Throttle is the 27.5 version. It is not a 27 plus. It's a regular 27.5, but it runs quite a bit of travel. It's made to run with a 140 mil travel. They have it in both a complete build kit with GX, and they have it with a available as a frame set alone. Both apparently are 15% off on their website right now. They come in two colors. It comes in this bumblebee looking shit, and it comes in this black and gray, which is obviously the one that I like better. So a couple things. It is carbon. It's actually not a bad value for a carbon bike, for a carbon hardtail rather. But this thing is burly. Like, it's the same kind of bike as like a Chameleon is, essentially. You know, a Chameleon's, like we just talked about, like, a Chameleon is versatile. It does pretty much anything. This is that same bike. Like, if you were to run a 27 plus Chameleon, this is the same kind of customer, just with more money in their pocket. It's a carbon frame, as I've mentioned. I think I've said that five times now. Good E13 wheel set, DHR tires, DHF up front, DHR on the rear, Fox 34. It's just an aggressive trail bike. It's 140 mil travel, so, I mean, the thing can go pretty much anywhere in your local trails. You could take it to jump runs. You could take it to a pump track. You could take it probably to the fucking skate park if you wanted to. But that's the idea. I mean, Transition always does a really, really good job of promoting their product between videos, their own website, social media, and just naming the product. Like, I mean, Throttle just sounds like the kind of guy, the kind of person that would want to buy this kind of bike, that would want to buy a Throttle, probably is ready to throttle some shit. I don't really know what that means, but it makes, like, they just kind of go together, I guess. Let's see. Let me just look at geometry real quick. Don't you love this? I just like to just look at this stuff and talk about it and not, you don't actually have to know all that much. But like at this point, like all the information in the entire world is available on the internet. So why, I don't think anybody needs to know everything. You just need to know enough, right? Like you just need to know enough to like get you from point A to point B and then be able to find the information that you need, I think. Head tube angles is 66. So it is slack for a hardtail for sure. So this is not like dad that comes in and wants to ride 50% rail trail and 50% on regular like local trails. This is guy that wants to ride in the trails all the time, but wants a bike that he's going to be able to keep up with his buddies that have full suspension, wants a bike that will still give him good response, super quick handling, and wants like that kind of minimalist design of a hardtail where like you don't have extra linkage points, you don't have extra shit going on. It's just super clean, super simple. So that's the Throttle. That's, and again, they have that basically available in one build kit because there's a frame set. Frame set's like $1,500 or so. The other one that they have is called the Vanquish. The Vanquish is a cool bike because it's basically like a carbon version of the Chameleon in a 29er build kit. It is longer, obviously. It's quicker. It's a 29er hardtail basically that you could race at an XC race, but you could also take and rip your local trails all day. Like for people that don't know, cross country bikes are not, I don't think they're fun. I don't think they're fun at all. I think they're miserable to ride for a long period of time. I think you don't feel as loose on a cross country bike. Like you can certainly do all the same stuff. Like, and if you're a good bike rider, like it doesn't really, really matter. But a bike like the Vanquish or a bike like the Throttle or a bike like the Chameleon, they're just more versatile. Like they just can do whatever you want and that's what their intent is. I don't even remember where I was going with this. Sometimes I just get off on tangents and then I just end up in the middle of like nowhere, in the middle of the ocean with nothing. These Nitro House cold craft brew coffees are pretty good, but there's a lot of caffeine and I'm like, my hand is like tweaking out and stuff. Anyway, basically it's a bike that can descend really well without forcing you to have a bike that has full suspension. And that's one of the cooler things I think about this whole category of bikes. And this is a category that I think is only going to grow from here on out. A lot of companies like Jamis just released a bunch of their new price point, and regular hardtail bikes. I'm only using Jamis as an example because I saw a noticeable change in the geometries of the bikes. They're coming with slightly fatter tires. They're less focused on weight. They're still fairly lightweight, but they're more focused on creating a bike that's fun, you know, because a lot more people were buying bikes like a Trail X. They were buying bikes that are a little bit looser, essentially. Like they're buying bikes that are more slack. They're not as upright. A lot of the hardtails that you were traditionally buying up until the last couple of years, and even still now, are based off, your $500 bike is based off of or very close to a sort of race geometry. And that's just not the same person. Most people that want to buy a hardtail are buying it because they can't afford a full suspension. They're buying it because they don't want to deal with all the extra parts. They want something simple. Or they're probably buying it because they're getting more for their money, I guess. It's not necessarily true that they couldn't afford a full suspension, but they want to get more out of what they're doing. And they just want to go out there and rip, because that's what almost everybody's first real mountain bike is a hardtail. Like I don't know anyone that had their first real mountain bike as a full suspension. I didn't. Nobody that I ride with has. It's just the entry point is important for getting people into riding bikes, because if you're riding on like a shitty race hardtail that's just dumbed down to fit a price point, it's not going to be nearly as much fun. It's not going to be the same experience for you, and you're more than likely either going to want to get rid of that bike soon, or you're just not going to be as into the sport as you could be. It feels so weird talking about mountain bike stuff while we're like, my brain is like fully in ski mode right now, but this is a bike and this is a bike series, or this is a group of bikes, I guess, that I think is going to keep growing and growing and growing. And I also think that we're probably going to see a couple new ones come out in 2019. I don't know that, but I figure it's probably a good thing to talk about because it's going to change and it's going to come out. And then I'm going to like jump on the bandwagon with everybody. If I don't talk about what I already think is cool now, then when it comes out later, we're going to be behind the eight ball. So I want to put this out there. I think this is where a lot of companies are kind of going this way already. Like I'm not giving some crazy prediction. Like a lot of companies are going this way, but I think you're going to see more and more and more, start happening because people want to have fun on bikes. Like mountain biking is fun. It's like, that's the natural progression. Like for skiing, we talk about guys in the park progressing to going into big mountain stuff. For mountain bike, the equivalent is kind of, or for cycling, it's like kids on BMX bikes kind of transition into going into mountain bikes. Or even people on dirt bikes transition into going to mountain bikes. The road bike people, you guys are a totally different breed and I don't care about you. I'm just kidding. I care about you. I just don't care about riding road bikes. But you're never going to hear me do. Hopefully you never hear me do unless somebody pays us a ton of money and then maybe I'll sell out for road bikes. You're never going to hear me talk about road bikes unless something cool happens. There's just no chance that I'm going to do it. Like unless somebody's like, here, Adam, here's $100,000. Like talk about my road bike for 20 minutes, then I'll do it. You know, like I can be bribed. I will tell you that right now, people, I can be bribed for the right price tag. It's expensive, but I can be bribed. And I'll still probably not do, like, I won't ever do the robot talk about a road bike anyway, but anyway, I won't shit on road biking too much. It's good exercise. Like I'm going to be on the trainer a little bit. I did the spin bike this morning. Like I think it's important, but those aren't even on the road. So those aren't even road bikes. Like, so what do I know? I'm not even talking about anything at this point. But yeah, mountain bikes. I think that's where people are going, man. Like I think people like riding bikes and I think people like having fun riding bikes. That's what this whole bike packing thing that's been going on the last couple of years is about. It's like people want to go somewhere and have a good time with their friends and go long distance and just be out there and enjoy the experience. That's why I think skiing is so cool, is because like skiing, you can have a ski weekend. That's like a normal thing. You can have a mountain biking weekend. That's a kind of a thing. You can just, you're just like, it's an event almost. So we'll see what happens, I guess, over the next year or so and how things change. But those are three bikes that I did want to talk about quickly. I know it's not like some crazy, like it's not a review. Like I've ridden the Chameleon a bunch and I've ridden it in both sets and I've ridden the Throttle. I haven't ridden the Vanquish. But you can tell what kind of bike it is. And that's one of the cool things I think about mountain bikes is you can kind of tell what kind of bike a bike is based on A, how it's promoted, and B, the geometry on the bike. I think it'll tell you a lot about what you're looking for. One of the cool things about all three of these bikes is that they're just like, they're not the norm, I guess. And they're bikes that I know for a fact, Santa Cruz rather didn't think that this was going to be a bike that killed it for them. And I'm sure it's not doing the same numbers as a 5010. I'm sure it's not doing the same numbers as a Bronson, but it's doing way better than they thought it was going to do. And they're selling way more of them than they thought they were going to because it's an easy upsell to people. Like you can sell that bike to somebody that just wants a bike to have fun with like all day. Like it's a bike that's worth buying. If you're a parent, if you're a kid, if you're a parent buying for your kid, if you're a guy that has no family affiliations whatsoever, it's just a bike that is worth the money. Like it's worth having because you can do whatever you like. It's a bike that you cannot know what the terrain's going to be like, excluding downhill stuff, and it will probably perform really, really well. I think all three of these bikes weren't predicted to be great sellers, but they're turning into them. I'd be interested to know what Transition's numbers are on these kind of on the Throttle and on the Vanquish, but I know Santa Cruz is doing way, way more of this bike than they were originally planning on. But anyway, we won't drag on for that long. How long are we at here?
23 minutes.
All right, so it's been 23 minutes of me talking about bike stuff. What else should we talk about? We could talk about other stuff, no? I don't know. We're not going to talk about that many other things because it's snowing out, and this is a bike review, kind of, or it's a bike chat about certain styles of bikes and yada, 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 yada. We are going to start doing this live stream. I guess this is something we can talk about. We're going to start doing this live stream thing for certain episodes, like episodes we have in studio specifically.
And just to add to that, we will be hopefully scheduling them prior, so you'll know about them in advance.
Maybe. We'll see. Ethan's a big scheduling guy, and I'm like the worst scheduler in the entire world. So that's definitely an issue.
We'll try our best, and we'll try to at least get it out there.
Also, notice that Ethan has a mic now, which is which is an upgrade from any previous episodes. He's had a mic. He just hasn't talked on it. What was I saying before we got into that thing? Oh, look at those things. Well, this is a mountain bike one, but look at those skis back there. Don't ignore Ethan's shitty skis, but we're going to get him new ones soon. Or I got him new ones. I just haven't mounted them yet. But yeah, we're going to start doing these live stream things a little more often for episodes we have in studio, specifically for Gear Talks. Sometimes we'll have more product in here. Sometimes we'll have other people chatting with me about gear. I think we did a YouTube video for the Kulkia episode as well, right? So we're going to start doing these things more. We got this webcam. It's a medium level webcam for sure. It's not the best webcam in the entire world, but it's getting better for sure. I like the quality of it so far. I think I don't look like a complete moron.
We're going to work on growing the live stream setup here over the next couple months.
And YouTube. So like tell a friend to tell a friend, or you follow us if you don't subscribe or follow us on YouTube. We are going to start doing more of it. I don't love the YouTube thing, and it's a totally different deal that I don't really fully understand, or neither of us really fully understand. Ethan understands it much more than I do, but I don't think there's a lot of things that I understand very well. But yeah, so that's the deal. That's our episode pretty much talking about the Santa Cruz Chameleon, the transition throttle and the transition Vanquish. I almost said the throttle Vanquish. That'd be a sick. That should be the update. So when you guys decide to make a version of this bike that does both things, because like I said, Chameleon is kind of both bikes in one, you should name it the throttle Vanquish or the Vanquish throttle. I don't know which one sounds better. Throttle Vanquish, I think, is probably the way to do it. All right, that's it. I'm not going to bore you guys anymore. Make sure you follow us on social media. Make sure you like, comment, tag, whatever people do with online stuff, and keep us in the loop, and we'll keep cranking out episodes. Thanks, guys. Bye. All right, that was our episode on the Santa Cruz Chameleon and the Transition Throttle. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Let us know what you think. Thanks again to Will from Bomberstrap for coming on the show. It's always good to hear from him, and the product is great. It's about as good of a strap as you can get. Anyway, make sure you follow us on social media at Out of Podcast. Follow Bomberstrap if you're into that kind of thing, at Bomberstrap. And yeah, we'll talk to you guys soon. Hopefully we'll do some more of these things coming down the road. Thanks, guys. Bye.